Dr. Christian's office. Yes. Oh, Marcia. Well, didn't we have a lunch date? You couldn't. Oh, Marcia, did it hurt much?
The Vaseline Program, the only show in radio where the audience writes the scripts. And tonight, the honors and prize money go to a posthumous work of Flight Officer Norman Farber, 442 North Broad Street, Los Angeles, California, for his play Boost for Heaven, starring Gene Herschold as Dr. Christian, with Rosemary DeCamp as Judy Price.
Oh, but banking the furnace, Marcia, no wonder you burned yourself. Well, you're lucky it was a minor burn. Good you had Vaseline petroleum jelly in the house, too. Oh, nothing better, Marcia. You should read the medical journals on wartime burn cases. Ever so many had remarkable recoveries, thanks to the new treatment that includes a local application of petroleum jelly. Oh, yes, of course. Vaseline petroleum jelly is the world's leading brand. Well, when burns like yours happen, always go straight for Vaseline petroleum jelly. Yes, on fine mesh gauze, and then cover the burn. Put the bandage on firmly, but not too tight. Oh, of course. If the burn is deep or covers a wide area, always call a doctor. But, Marcia, remember, Vaseline petroleum jelly for household burns. There's nothing better. Keep an extra tube or jar in reserve. Oh, it's an excellent idea. And, Marcia, next time, let your brother bank the furnace. Well, come and see us. Goodbye.
Now for our prize play. The scene is Dr. Christian's familiar office in the old White House at the corner of State Street and the River Road in River's End. It's early evening. A cold spring drizzle is falling, and the long, drawn-out, lonesome whistle of the evening train echoes through the wet night.
Doctor, you'd better hurry. There's the whistle.
Yes, I shouldn't want him to meet the train alone. Now, what to do with my coat?
Oh, it's right here where you always hang it.
Sure.
Doctor, do you think Joan will be waiting at the station, too?
I know she will. She has spunk, that one.
Oh, she has that, Doctor. She's weathered it all so valiantly.
Perhaps. Perhaps that's just the trouble.
Trouble? Why, what do you mean?
Well, haven't you noticed? She isn't a Joan we used to know. She's ill, bitter, antagonistic to what all who would help her.
Poor Joan. I haven't seen her smile once in all this time.
Smile? No, she hasn't smiled. But that's not important. What is that she hasn't cried. All the tragedy of the past 6 months, the death of her fiancé and now her only brother. Well, perhaps if her mother was still alive. I'll be back in about an hour, Judy. Hello, Sam.
Good of you to come to the station, Doctor.
Hello, Joan.
Good evening, Dr. Christian.
Feeling better lately?
I'm feeling quite well, thank you.
Oh, well, of course. Sam, has everything been arranged?
Yes, thank you, Doctor. We're to meet Jim's friend, Cadet Clark, on the same train. He volunteered to bring the body, to bring Jim home.
Is there anything I can do, Sam?
Yes, if you would, you can take Joan home. I'm to meet Mr. Johnson here to take Jim to the mortuary.
Please, Dad, if Dr. Christian doesn't mind, I'd rather be with you and Jim.
But Joan...
It's all right, Sam. Perhaps it's best. I'll meet Jim's friend and take him to your place. It won't be any trouble.
Thank you, Doctor. Come then, Joan. I think we go to the last car. Oh, Doctor, the name of Jim's friend is Clark, car 26.
Pardon me, Cadet Clark?
Yes, sir. You must be Jim's father.
No, young man. I'm Dr. Christian, a close friend of the family. Mr. Wilson and Joan are caring for Jim. I'm to take you to the house.
Glad to meet you, Doctor.
Well, come on, let's get out of this wet. My car's right back here.
Do you mind if I smoke, Doctor?
Oh, no, not at all. There's the car lighter.
Thanks. Have one?
No, thank you. Don't use them.
Neither should I.
Smoking much?
Too much. Past few days. Dr. Christian, can we stop someplace for a little while? I'd rather not face them just now. Jim's father and sister. I mean, well, I don't know what to say, how to act. I don't
even
know.
Naturally, it's only a little drive to my place. We can stop there and wash up. Perhaps a cup of hot coffee.
Oh, gosh, if it's not too much trouble, I'd appreciate it. Especially that coffee.
As a matter of fact, I'd like so myself after standing in this rain.
This is just what I've been waiting for. You brew a good cup of coffee, sir. And does this fire ever feel good?
That's one of my few accomplishments. How long will you be with us, Mr. Clark?
Oh, call me Tom, Dr. Christian. The Army gave me 7 days.
All right, Tom. Like the Army?
Yes. That is, I did up until a few days ago.
Jim's there?
Yep. I guess so. Everything's so different.
You were very good friends.
The best. We never did anything apart from the day we met at Randolph Field. We marched together, studied together, laughed and flew together. In a few weeks, we would have graduated together.
You don't have to talk about it, Tom.
Well, somehow, for the first time, I want to, Dr. Christian. I can't hold it inside me much longer. I keep remembering that I was right behind him on the day it happened. He was on his base leg, turning for the field, 1,000 feet off the ground when it happened. I saw it all. I saw the nose of his plane mush up, and even before he fell off on one wing, I screamed at him, "Jim! Jim, watch it! You're stalling out! Watch it!" I knew he couldn't hear me, but I screamed until I was hoarse. I was so close I could see him fighting the controls, trying to right the ship, but he never did. I saw the flames, and I was helpless. I saw him dying, and I was helpless. We had to wait until it was safe to land. We circled for what seemed hours. And when we were finally given permission to come in, it took me 5 passes to make the field. I haven't flown since. I don't care to.
A little rest, and you'll feel differently.
I don't think so, sir. I feel washed up.
I think I can understand.
No. No, you don't. You can't. Oh, I'm sorry, Doctor. I guess my nerves are all shot. And anyhow, it's time I stop boring you.
Oh, no, Tom. Go on. It's good to let it all out.
Perhaps. Dr. Christian, I know you're trying to help me, but I don't want to be analyzed. I just want to be left...
Oh, you misunderstand, Tom. You don't need my help. On the contrary, I'd need yours.
What?
Exactly. I'm pleased you suggested stopping here before going to the Wilsons. It gave me an idea. You see, it concerns Joan Wilson.
Jim's sister?
Yes. You know her fiancé was killed in the Battle of the Bots.
Jim told me. Poor kid. Now this.
Exactly. Now to lose her brother, too. It's been too much for her. 2 blows to the core of the heart. She's a changed girl, living within herself, brooding.
But what can I do?
I don't know for sure, but you're the only one who can help. You can treat her as you would any young girl. Talk with her. Do things with her. Don't let her be alone. Pay her the attention of a young man courting.
Well, if you think it'll do any good, I'll certainly try.
Good boy, I know it will. And I'll tell her father so he can help. But above all, don't let Joan know. She's proud. Well, I think I'd better be driving you over there. Feel like facing them now?
Yes, Dr. Christian. Somehow I do.
Doctor, good evening. How did things go at the hospital today?
Oh, fine, Judy. Mrs. Jablonski had a baby boy, 9 pounds.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, I meant to tell you. Guess whom I saw not 10 minutes ago walking down Elm?
Joan and Tom.
Oh,
it's not a guess, Judy. I saw them, too. Why, he's doing her a world of good these past few days, hasn't he?
Yes. Doctor, I was at my desk when you were talking to Tom, and it seems to me that he's as much in need of straightening out as Joan.
That's right, Judy. But unless I miss my guess, the treatment prescribed would work a double cure.
Well, he certainly looked carefree tonight. I wonder where they could have been going.
Well, Judy, if I were young and on such a night with such a moon, I think I'd be down at the lake.
Oh, better watch your step here, Tom. There's a fallen tree across the path.
Ouch! What path? Here, let me help you.
Thanks, but I think you're the one who needs help.
Oh, you can say that again. My shin will never be the same. But you seem to know this place like the palm of your hand.
I do.
Hey, young lady. Why go any further? Oh, look at that moon on the water. And that log lying on the shore as though it were just made
for... Oh, Tom, let's go on. It's lovely a little further down, and I...
And abandon all this? Not on your tintype.
Please, Tom, not this place. I don't know what brought me here after all these months.
Oh, of course. What a blundering fool I've been. I should have understood.
No, you're not to blame. You couldn't know.
But I did. Jim spoke of you an awful lot, Joan. Practically all the time, in fact. Shall we go back to the house?
Please. Oh, Tom, wait. Forgive me. I've been a fool. We won't go back. We'll sit down on this log.
But, Joan...
Tell me, what else did Jim talk about? We saw so little of him this past year, and now I want to know everything. Tell me, Tom.
Well, according to Jim, you were the kid's sister who was always getting into jams. Come to think of it, this must be the lake he fished you out of by your pigtails when you were 7 and sassy.
Not only this lake, but this very spot. I remember it very well. I decided to swim out to the island.
And how far did you get?
Up to my neck, and then I started yelling for Jim.
And there he was.
Yes, and there he was. He was always there. That's what makes it so hard.
I know, Joan. But that's not all. He also told me about your bringing your report card home one summer with an F in deportment.
Oh, I didn't.
Might as well fess up. When you showed the card to your mother, she asked what the F stood for. Do you know what you said?
What?
F, you said, stands for fine, of course.
Oh, Tom, I couldn't have.
Not only could, but did. Shall I go on?
No, you'd better not. If my past is to be an open book, Mr. Clark, I'd like to be the one to turn the pages for you.
Joan, I'd like it, too. I've put my foot in it again, haven't I, Joan?
No, not your foot, Tom, but your hand. A helping hand. Oh, it's getting awfully late. Father will worry.
Gosh, almost midnight. Well, I hate to leave this spot, but... Your arm, m'lady?
Thank you, my lord. Good morning, Father. Isn't it a gorgeous day?
Good morning, dear. My, but you look bright and beautiful.
And why shouldn't I? Am I not my father's child?
If I say yes, does that mean I'm beautiful, too?
No, not exactly. Just distinguished and handsome. Where's Tom?
Up in the tool shed, I think. He's already had his breakfast. Says I let you sleep too late.
Oh, he does he? I'll have you know I was wide awake long before both of you. Men just don't stop to consider things like curlers and lipstick and hairbrushes and...
Joan, it's been a long time since I've heard you spout that silly yet wholesome chatter. It's good having Tom here, isn't it?
Mm. He's nice.
Ah, he's more than that, young lady, and you know it. Why, he's everything Dr. Christian said he would be.
Dr. Christian?
Oh, yes. He told me Tom was a fine fellow. They sort of had a talk the night he drove Tom from the station... Here, your eggs are getting cold.
Father, what has Dr. Christian to do with Tom and me?
Why, nothing, dear. Nothing at all. But unless you care for tepid eggs...
I'm not hungry.
Joan, I...
Father, what did Dr. Christian say?
Merely that Tom would be good for you, that you were, well, living within yourself, and that if he would try to...
Try? Father, did you say try? Do you mean that Dr. Christian and Tom...
Now, Joan, you're putting words into my mouth. Dear, please try to understand.
I think I do. I think I understand everything.
Hi there, folks. All the sleepyheads awake?
Very wide awake, Mr. Clark.
Now, what on earth did I say?
You didn't say it, my boy. I'm afraid I did.
Why, Joan, good morning. It's good to see you.
I'd like to speak to Dr. Christian.
Well, of course. Just step into his office. I'm sure he'll be glad to see you.
I'm not so certain.
Well, hello, Joan. Well, this is a real pleasure. It's been a long time since you dropped in on us like this.
And I have no intention of altering the situation except for this once.
Why, Joan, what do you mean?
This is no social call.
No?
I learned this morning what you've been up to. How clever you must have thought yourselves. Do you think I'm a fool? Do you think I have no feelings, treating me like a stubborn little girl who needs to be... Oh, Sergio, I thought he...
Joan.
Oh, you shan't hurt me again. No one shall ever hurt me again.
Joan, you're being very childish. If you let me explain,
it won't be necessary. I'm leaving.
Oh, no, young lady, you're not leaving. I'm tired of your schoolgirl tantrums, treating that young man so shabbily. You know that he was here not only 15 minutes ago to say goodbye?
Goodbye? But he wasn't to leave until tomorrow.
Yes, but someone gave him the impression that his presence wasn't appreciated at your home. He's at the station now. Don't you care?
Why should I?
I'll tell you why. When Tom Clark came to see me a week ago, he was as useless to himself and to the army as an exploded shell. If he had gone back to flying in his condition, he'd surely have washed out, or perhaps something far worse might have happened.
Tom?
Yes, Tom. The same young man who was so gay and charming to you, forgetting his own troubles to lend you a helping hand.
But Father said...
I know what your father said. Certainly I told Tom to pay you every possible attention. It's the only way for him to forget, to relax in his concern for you. Oughty, isn't it, that the very person who cured him, who smashes all to selfish thoughtlessness.
You mean...
Joan, I can assure you of one thing. Anything Tom might have said or done or led you to believe was very sincere. Why, you meant more to him than he was willing to admit. When he left here, it was with a new wound.
Doctor, you mean Tom said...
Tom said nothing. Anyhow, he's gone now.
Oh, no. No, he isn't. Not yet. It's only 3:45. I've still 10 minutes. Dr. Christian, would you... May I borrow your car?
It's yours, Joan. Judy!
Yes, Doctor?
Will you bring the car out front, please?
Well, it's out there now and the motor's running. You better hurry, Joan.
Oh, thank you.
Well, Judy, how on earth did you know about the car? You must be psychic.
No, not psychic. Chronic. Eavesdropper.
Oh.
Gosh, I hope she'll reach the station in time to catch him to explain. You think she will, Doctor?
No doubt of it.
But she only has 5 minutes.
35? I set Tug ahead a half an hour when I saw her coming up the walk.
Tom?
Joan!
Tom! Tom, I was so afraid you'd gone. I don't know how to begin. Dr. Christian told me that... He said that...
Don't, please. Just your coming is enough.
Oh, Tom, can't you stay? You still have one more day.
Sorry, sweet. I've already wired my CO. And besides, if I return now, I can catch up to the class and graduate next month. Then I'll need somebody. Somebody special to pin on my wings. John... Will you?
Oh, Tom. Will I?
Why, Joan, you're crying.
Good morning, Judy.
Any mail?
Oh, the usual bills and circulars. Oh, and a letter from Tom Clark.
Oh, what does he say?
He thinks he'll get his discharge next week when he graduates.
What are his plans after that?
As if you needed to ask. He's coming to River's End to see Joan and make plans.
I think that'll be a very happy marriage.
Thanks to you, Doctor.
Oh, no, Judy. Marriages are made in heaven, remember? Of course, I did give these young folks a little boost.
And the curtain comes down on another Dr. Christian prize play with our star, Jean Hersholt, waiting to greet you. It's time, ladies, time to pick out your Easter bonnet. And don't forget, keep a hairdo in mind to match. Oh, you want your hair to look its loveliest on Easter Sunday. Soft, alive, glowing with natural beauty. So get your hair in condition. Get Vaseline Hair Tonic. Give your hair this simple Vaseline Hair Tonic glamour treatment. Just three easy steps. One, before shampooing, briskly massage your scalp with plenty of Vaseline Hair Tonic. Two, steam your hair with a piping hot towel, then shampoo it. Three, after the shampoo, brush on a few drops of Vaseline Hair Tonic as you would a brilliantine. This Vaseline Hair Tonic Glamour Treatment effectively checks dry scalp, helps give your hair all the silken sheen, the sparkling highlights, the shimmering natural beauty it should have. Try it tonight. And remember, Vaseline Hair Tonic is one of the many Vaseline brand products made by the Cheesebro Manufacturing Company, owners of the trademark Vaseline. And now, here is Jean Hersholt.
Thank you very much. The story you just heard was written by Flight Officer Norman Farber before he shipped out a year ago. He was killed in Xi'an, China, on May 26, 1945. Prior to joining the Air Forces, he was a reader at MGM. A transcription of the play, as we presented it here tonight, will go to Mrs. Gloria Farber with the appreciation of the sponsor for a fine play, so that her little son, Stephen, may have this permanent record of his father's talents. This week, April 7th through April 13th, has been dedicated to the public health nurse. It's her week. So it's a good time for all of us to think about the many important services she is rendering in every kind of health activity. In the home, the school, the industrial plant, the public health nurse teaches healthful habits of living, proper nutrition, prevention of disease, and follow-up care after patients are home from hospitalization. All honor to the public health nurse. Next week, we plan to present a new prize play called Live Wire by Dr. William Booth of Boston, Massachusetts. We invite you all to listen same time and same station. Until then, I'll say good night.
If you work with oils, dyes, paints, or chemicals, or use soap and water a lot in housework, protect your hands with Vaseline Petroleum Jelly. Smooth it on before starting work, after washing up. Remember, for the relief of work sore hands, Vaseline Petroleum Jelly. The competition for the Dr. Christian Award closed last Sunday night, April 7th, 1946. The screening and judging of the scripts will start immediately, and the winner is scheduled to be announced on June 19th. Art Gilmore speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.